Come on, people. It's time to live it up. That's right.
Did you know that inside your body right now is a medicine that can effectively treat over 100 so-called untreatable diseases? Inside each one of us is the most powerful medicine ever known to man. From the time that we are born, we all have what are called adult stem cells. I prefer a more accurate term, repair stem cells, because that is what they are, that is what they do, and that is what they keep doing. Great doctors from all over the world are now using repair stem cells to save and improve lives. Heart patients who were told to go home and die are now regularly jogging uphill. The symptoms of Parkinson's patients are being reduced. Blind children are slowly gaining some sight. Autistic children are taking a step back toward normalcy. Some paralyzed patients who were told that they would never walk again are walking again. And this is merely the beginning of the greatest medical science in the history of the world. I'm Don Margolis of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, and we want you to have all of the information about this amazing field of medical self-repair. This information could just save the life of someone you love.
It's Friday, August 30th, and we're very honored today to have a co-host, Dr. James Brawley of Nevada, who is certainly one of America's leading nutritionists, specialists in supplements and diets, and certainly in the world, the number one stem cell nutritionist who has made some advances in stem cell science by seeing how diets help and how bad diets hurt the activity of stem cells. Say hello, Dr. Jim.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Don. Good to be with you.
We're honored, Dr. Jim. Now we have two call-in numbers. We will be taking calls after the first 15 minutes. We will be taking calls. Here's the number, toll-free, U.S. and Canada, 1-888-429-5471. For those that are not in the U.S. or Canada, it's 1-530-413-9537. We're going to have some special interviews today. We have, as you know, every week we promise to get you a long-term heart patient whose life was saved and who openly admit it, because the liars at the International Society for Stem Cell Research, they're bred pharma to lie and say that adult stem cells don't work. They don't want pharma's profits being reduced by stem cells, so they lie and tell everybody. The worst thing is they tell doctors that, and the doctors have no chance to figure out what's right and what's wrong. So they tell their patients, no, don't get stem cells. You're better off if you die instead. Keep taking my pills. Well, these people are here to negate the lies which say, oh, adult stem cells only last 3 months in the cases of heart failure. Well, you're going to hear from people that are going to explain how big that lie is. Both of them were treated in 2005. So they're all over now, 8 years since they've been treated. And they'll tell you how they're feeling. Now, to And Dr. Jim, he has a truly remarkable interview with a stem cell lady who has multiple sclerosis. And between Dr. Brawley's treatment and his diet and a perfect patient who does pay attention on what to do, you're going to learn a lot about how to truly treat multiple sclerosis. We're going to kick off here with an interesting article by a writer I respect by the name of David Prentice about a patient who had a kidney transplant. And kidney plant transplants are tough, but this fellow has the latest science behind his kidney transplant. Now, what is that latest science? It's because with a kidney transplant or a heart transplant or a liver transplant, it is absolutely impossible to do it without having your immune system crippled by drugs. Because if you don't weaken your immune system, the immune system will fight the new organ and, in some cases, kill it. Your immune system is there to repel invaders. And a new heart or a new kidney is an invader because it has different DNA than you do. And they recognize it, your body recognizes it, and the treatments in the old days used to fail until they figured out how to drug them. And the miraculous thing, the new thing that happened with this drug is that he got also received, beside the kidney from the donor, he received the donor's bone marrow adult stem cells. And then they became part of the patient's immune system and retrained his body to recognize the donated kidney as his own. And that is the miracle of this one, so that he doesn't have to take anti-rejection drugs if he takes the adult stem cells from the body of the donor. And that suddenly the donor is no more an enemy, it's a friend. Now that is a beautiful piece of scientific news. I just want to add one little thing to it. Another bad thing about the drugs is that obviously it weakens your immune system and sets you up for cancer, sets you up for any invader, any infection, and you're weakened from that, and you get more infections if you happen to take this drug. What do you think about that, Dr. Jim?
Well, I agree with that, and that's the same argument we have against cancer chemotherapy and radiation therapy in the process of trying to treat the disease. The doctor suppresses the human being's primary defense against all disease, which is their immune system. So it should be no surprise that with the therapy comes an increased risk of a variety of diseases, including, as you mentioned, cancer, infections, abnormal blood clotting, and so forth. And the patient dies in the process of trying to save them. A couple of comments here. One is that the disease he was treated for is polycystic kidney disease. My dad died with that condition, along with other medical conditions. And so that kind of hit home. And had we been 20, 30 years earlier, might have been able to keep my father alive as a consequence of that. And I would say the other thing is that a lot of your kidney failure patients, real quickly, do not require a kidney transplant. We have experience, and other doctors in the stem cell industry have experience of reversing chronic kidney disease and kidney failure by infusing stem cells directly into the blood supply of the kidneys, allowing repair and regeneration of the kidneys so that they get to return to normal kidney function. But anyway, very interesting, very intriguing alternative way of treating a patient with this form of kidney disease. Very interesting.
I'm just thrilled that they found a way to take enemy adult stem cells and make them friends. That is astonishing, and what a story this is. I want to mention that the Repair Stem Cell Institute has two doctors in its system who have successfully treated kidney patients and got them not cured. We never use the word cure, but got them back to more normal lifestyle with their own adult stem cells. The next thing we want to talk about is something new happening in stem cells. The article, Jim, is from Italy, well translated into English, about the efficiency of efficiency of stem cell treatments by improving the biological performance of stem cells before their transplantation. And there's a lot of work. They haven't yet done it on live people, but they found ways to improve the efficiency and the efficacy and perhaps the safety of stem cell treatments. And the one that they've used it against in their scientific research is ischemic stress. Ischemic stress is what leads to heart attacks. Ischemic means the arteries are blocked. And these guys have found ways to change the molecular mechanisms of treating some of these things. And it hasn't been yet tried on a human yet, but it's a heck of a concept that if you can treat somebody, it's what we all in the stem cell... industry have dreamed of, and that is making stem cells a preventative, preventing disease before it kills you. And that's what I liked about this article all the way from Italy, and it was published in the Journal of Biomedic.
I'm looking at the same article here, Don, and just a couple of quick comments. What they've done is, if you're going to give somebody stem cells, you want the stem cells to be functioning at an optimal level. Not all stem cells are equal and of the same quality. And what was a little bit curious is that they temporarily deprive the stem cells of oxygen in the process of stimulating them to function better. Really interesting. We do that in a number of different ways. There's a number of different ways of improving stem cell function. We found, for example, that if you have a patient that's vitamin D insufficient and you don't correct it, the stem cells that you give them and their own stem cells don't work as well. We've also found that if you, with use of vitamin C and another very important antioxidant enzyme called glutathione, given before stem cell therapy, during the actual stem cell administration and afterwards, allows the stem cells that you give them, as well as the patient's own stem cells,
he handled it
better.
Thanks, Dr. Jim. I just say that this, I want to say that if they can do this, and they're a long way from doing it, let's not get overly excited about it, but it is a major, major step in preventative medicine if they can get the stem cells to get to strengthen our stem cells to do these wonderful things. Okay, just want to let you. Yeah. Sure. Yes. We're going to take a break now. We're going to take a break for about a minute and a half.
Have you been told repair stem cells are untested, unsafe, ineffective, and even detrimental? Not true. In fact, the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells have been proven in over 1,500 clinical trials in the United States and around the world. Repair stem cells are currently used by doctors worldwide to help people suffering from over 100 serious and so-called untreatable medical conditions. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margolis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company, helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on BBS Radio.
Hello, we're back online, a little bit of internet problems, but we're okay now. I'd like to bring in one of our longtime heart patients for a talk. This fellow is a very interesting guy, and his name is Dale Morrison, and Dale is from Texas, and he has some interesting things to tell us. Mr. Engineer?
We have with us Mr. Dale Morrison, who was one of the first half dozen human beings to be treated with adult stem cells for a heart condition. That happened.
I don't hear anything.
In around June of 2005. Dale, do you remember? Can you tell us what your heart was like before you came to Bangkok for stem cells?
I was slowing down extremely fast, was having a hard time moving around and stuff there, but all due to the heart there, stuff there.
Okay.
And I got, yes.
And what do you recall when you arrived in Bangkok, a country you'd never seen, almost never heard of, and what do you recall about your arrival in Bangkok?
It was great. I've seen lots of things I've probably never seen otherwise. Stuff there. I was having a hard time getting around there to start with there. And at the end of the session there, I was completely changed there. Stuff there. I could move very rapidly immediately after the procedure was done. I was very, very surprised at how fast I started to recover there.
I still have a picture I took of you in the airport arriving. You were
yes.
in a wheelchair. They took you from the airplane to the waiting room in a wheelchair. And
yes.
Your face at the time was purple.
Yes. Yes, probably.
And, okay. So what do you remember about the doctors who treated you?
They were great. Stuff there, the nurses and stuff were great. They done a good job. The hospital was done a marvelous job on taking care of me stuff, much more than what I expected there.
Okay. Now, after some time, usually it was 9 days or 10 days, but whatever it was, they sent you home.
Yes.
And I recall getting an email from a very nice lady who I learned to admire, who recently passed away, your wife, and she
yeah.
sent me an amazing email. I couldn't believe it, that it was 4 weeks after the treatment, and she was telling me all the things you did. And she told me, her daughter, Yvonne, was going to move, and she had to go out of town on business, and you took over the job of preparing her new house and moving her out of her old house. And we've got pictures of you carrying a television set down the stairs. Do you recall that?
Yes, there was no problem at that time. Before
okay.
the procedure, I probably could not have done that there.
Well, you helped her move out, and I guess it was her sister that saw you, and she said, "You're not supposed to be climbing stairs." And you said, why not? And you were feeling top notch. And then the next project, when Yvonne came back, you built her an outside porch for her new house. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay. And now you're a very active guy. You are a volunteer to be in the Texas Park program. Could you tell our listeners when you were working hard for Texas Parks, what your responsibilities were?
Well, when I started on the Texas Parks project there, this is a project that was completely barren land stuff, and we were supposedly putting in a canoe takeout with a picnic area for people there, and so they could, and trails to be put in there. This project went far beyond what I had expected to. I did not do all the work on the project. I headed up most of the work on the project. When we got done, we had about 6 miles of new trail that we put in. Most of this, I had either walked it to start with. Most of it I rebuilt myself there. And since then, we've had other people go through there and improved it. And the number of people that have been using the project just outstandingly more than what we ever expected on it there, stuff there.
So
I just can't describe it there.
Well, that was a good deed by the heart doctors who took care of you so well and gave you a life and gave the state of Texas and its residents additional facilities for heart fixing. You were well rewarded, and now it is almost exactly 8 years. It's a little over 8 years from 2005 to 2013. It's a little over 8 years. And, of course, when the liars who run the International Society for Stem Cell Research say that heart stem cells don't last more than 4 months, what do you got to say for them?
Well, it lasts more than 4 months. they've done good for me, realistic, up until for 6 years there and stuff. And at that time there, I'm not saying the heart was a failure, but I had low blood pressure there. And they put a fibrillator and a pacemaker in me at that time. And since then, I've slowed down quite a bit, but I'm still pushing forward. The project I got started. It benefited more people than what you can imagine there. I started off by doing most all the volunteer work by myself. Now I got my volunteer group up to 15, 20 people working once a week on it. So this has made a big, big improvement there, stuff there. It's just some of the people that started the project, they can't believe what changes we chain, and they're all very, very happy about what's happened there and stuff there.
Well, so am I. Put me down for also being happy for a guy who had the courage. I remember one thing about Dale Morrison. When in the early days when nobody knew about stem cells, everybody wanted to talk to the patients who was previously treated. And there was one lady who was treated, and she volunteered to work for us and talk to all the new patients about her experience. So I sent you an email and said, here's her telephone number. She's willing to talk to you and tell you what you'd be in for, and you need some building up. And you wrote back, I don't want to waste her time. It doesn't matter what she says, I'm coming. And and that was about as true a statement as there was. Thank you for your time, Dale Morrison. I'm glad they gave you that defibrillator and pacemaker. Probably make you good for a few more years. And you and I will talk again in 6 months if it's all right with you.
Just fine.
Thank you, Dale Morrison.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Well, there you go. There's a guy who used to be in his 60s. Now he's in his 70s and still positive and still volunteering for Texas Heart, Texas Parks. Dr. Jim, what do you think makes guys like Dale Morrison the way they are and courageous enough to come out and say, I'm going to try this experimental thing?
My comment was that he gets that because he's a Texan. He looked around and he saw that the conventional approach with drugs and hopelessness that he got from the prescription drug pushing physicians wasn't working, and that he needed to take a chance, and he did. Pretty gutsy, gritty stuff. As a consequence, he's still alive and kicking.
I got an email today from a stranger, and I'm going to read it word for word. Of course, I won't give you his name. Dear Don, I suffered a major cardiac arrest at 41 years old. I have only 30% ejection fraction and am terminal. I live in New Mexico. Do you have any stem cell opportunity for me? Also, do you have any stem cell research pertaining to sudden death and cardiac arrest in young males like myself? And it is, this is one of the toughest questions that I've gotten in a long time, because the 30% ejection fraction certainly needs to be treated, and stem cells almost always help these people. But the fact that he has had a major cardiac arrest, to me, that means he might have heart failure. And if he has heart failure, it'd be a different treatment, but still stem cells work very well on heart failure. But the thing I don't like about this, where he says, I have only a 30% ejection fraction and am terminal. Dr. Jim, you think this could be something that his cardiologist told him?
Yes, so just let me make a comment. The first most common symptom of severe heart disease is sudden death. You have cardiac arrest and you die. So he's lucky he got through that. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that. It could be that he had coronary artery disease and he had a massive heart attack that would damage his heart to the point that he's in heart failure. He could also have problems with magnesium deficiency and have an arrhythmia or coronary vasospasm, and his heart doesn't function properly. And as a young man, he had a cardiac arrest and was, again, lucky to survive it. I said, by the way, 25% of all people who have a heart attack, the first symptom is not chest pain or heart palpitations, as they die. Sudden cardiac arrest. Back to your question. Absolutely. I think stem cell therapy and integrative nutritional dietary recommendations in conjunction with that would save his life, would definitely help him. Whether he has congestive heart failure, which it sounds like he does, or other heart disease, stem cell therapy and complementary and alternative medicine is the key.
Okay, here's what I wrote to him. Dear X, based on what little we know, my guess is that you would be accepted for stem cell treatment about 75% of the time. Therefore, I am attaching a simple medical form which you can fill out on your computer and email back to us. I will immediately give it to two top doctors for their opinions and let you know the results. Thanks for writing. Let's hope we can help. Any comment on that?
No, that's exactly right. That's a very honest, straightforward answer, and gives him honest hope that he can pull through this.
Okay, Mr. X, I know you're probably not listening to the show, but you do have a good shot, and we're hoping we get your Medform back and can give you what the top doctors say. Now we're into the second half hour. We had a break already, but I'd like to converse with Dr. Jim on one of my favorite new subjects, and that is, what is happening in the field of stem cells?
Just to remind those of you that are interested in calling in, if you're from the United States or Canada, our toll-free number is 888-429-5471. If you're outside the United States or Canada, the number is 530-413-9537. We'd sure like to hear from you.
Thanks, Dr. Jim. Now, my favorite subject, as I was saying, is this guy. He said he was treated for stem cells in 2010. He was treated with adipose stem cells, and 2010 was the first year that adipose stem cells started getting some recognition. And he says, do you have anything new now? And it took me a second to suddenly realize what's going on. I said, well, in 2011, the usage of mini lipos to take tummy fat and for adipose stem cells really expanded, and by 2011 it was common to have 200 million stem cells minimum from tummy fat. In 2012, the efficacy of adipose stem cells was generally recognized, and lots of companies were using it in an improved mode. And in 2013, we have a new plus for stem cells, and that is more and more stem cell doctors are finding that stem cells alone are not always the best treatment for a patient, and stem cells has to be combined with some other treatment, always natural, by the way, some other natural treatment. And the best example we have of that is our guest host, Dr. Brawley. Dr. Brawley's going to tell us about how the addition of dietary controls and the addition of lifestyle improvement is important for the success of stem cells. Dr. Brawley, would you take a few minutes to explain so that everybody can understand that stem cells are not a magic bullet and how important diet is?
Well, we're going to have an interview coming up with one of my favorite patients, Heidi, that will go into this in greater detail, but that's a good example. If you have a patient who comes in with a chronic disease and the underlying cause of that disease you know, and you give the patient stem cells, what you would expect if it's a progressive disease is that it would the stem cells would come in, repair what's been damaged, maybe regenerate some new cells that need to be replaced, and the patient gets better. But if you haven't dealt with the underlying cause of the disease, and that's been identifiable, underlying conditions, not just one, then what you would expect is that once the patient has recovered from stem cells, that slowly over a period of time, the same disease will reappear and the downward spiral will continue. You see that, for example, with progressive multiple sclerosis, other diseases as well. And what we discovered as an example of many examples is that many of the patients with progressive multiple sclerosis have an underlying genetic disease called celiac disease, and they're allergic or sensitive to wheat and rye and barley and other so-called gluten grains. And if you don't deal with that, you don't get the gluten grains out of their diet, they will respond and get better with stem cells, but because they continue eating gluten grains over a period of time, they slowly get worse again. The best therapy is introduce stem cells to get the repair kick-started. identify and get rid of the toxins, in this case, gluten grains from their diet, and you have the best of two worlds. The patient gets better because of the stem cells, and they continue to heal and don't have return of the disease because you've eliminated a fundamental cause of the disease. That's one of many examples of what we call integrative stem cell therapy, where you're using stem cells because of their power and promise, and with progressive diseases, you also deal with underlying causes of the disease that brought them in the first place.
Thank you, Dr. Jim. I want to bring up a few more examples. One of the world's leading stem cell research doctors who also treats patients is in Israel. And recently talking with him, and I realized I had a heart patient, and I wasn't clear on what his treatment was and what it would cost. So I asked him to email me what my patient's options were. And son of a gun, the guy had six options, six of them. Number one, he could use the bone marrow stem cells and take a single treatment and low money. Another example was he would take the bone marrow stem cells, split them in two parts, put one part in immediately and have them come back in 10 days after they have split out the mesenchymal cells and grown them a bit and get another treatment with his own mesenchymal cells. A third choice was he has a machine called an acoustic shock wave machine. Now, I'm not an expert on this subject, but he tells me that they use the acoustic shockwave machine to get most of the stem cells to go to the heart where they belong instead of half of them leaking out into the bloodstream, which is quite normal for heart stem cell patients. And there were more, but those are the three that and it just proves the point where there's more and more things, an acoustic shockwave machine. What do you think, Dr. Jim?
I think that's brilliant. I like that, where you have options. I might just throw in one other one that's been in the news, and very exciting thing we talked on a previous program, is the use of hyperbaric oxygen therapy just before and immediately after stem cell infusion. The evidence is that that mobilizes and increases stem cell production by something like 800%. It allows the stem cells to work better in larger numbers. Here you're using oxygen to make stem cells work better, a very natural form of therapy.
Well, that's certainly true, and what I personally consider the number one stem cell hospital in the world, which is here in Bangkok, they use the hyperbaric chamber on all patients who they think it will help, and that machine is busy all day. And they have at least 10 different natural functional therapies that will help the stem cell patient, and which they think will help stem cells do the job. And 10, think of it, 10, I mean, chelation, occupational therapy, behavioral therapy, speech therapy, and of course everybody gets physical therapy, et cetera, et cetera. Any opinion on those things, Doc?
Oh, I just showed that shows that that particular hospital is clearly on the cutting edge. That's the direction of stem cell therapy, as far as I'm concerned, is letting the stem cells be the stars, but bringing in as many supportive therapies as you can to make the stem cells work even better. I think that's just excellent what they're doing.
Well, and this one will be, I know you knew about this hospital because we talked about it before, but this one's going to surprise you, Dr. Jim. There is another new, brand new stem cell center opened up here in Bangkok with a couple of very, very sharp doctors, and I do mean sharp, and it takes a lot for a doctor, for me to call a doctor sharp. In fact, it takes a lot for me not to call a doctor an idiot, but that's another story. Anyway, these two guys are bringing new things to stem cells. And the one that's the most interesting, I haven't met the doctor who has this, is spreading this around the world. He's a chap by the name of Weber, and he travels the world, and I won't get to meet him for another 3 weeks. This is when Bangkok will be his stop. But Dr. Weber has what's called laser therapy. Now, I know Dr. Jim knows a little bit about this stuff, but there's a machine, and I volunteered to try it out. And they give you, first of all, they put oxygen into your blood as part of the treatment. But the main thing is they have four colors. I know some of you are going to think this is silly, because I know I did. Four colors that they inject into your blood, colored rays, R-A-Y-S, and they inject into your blood, and it has many, many, many positive effects. And they give it to all stem cell patients and some other people who are not getting stem cells, but they give it to all stem cell patients. I had a stem cell patient go there, my first stem cell patient, and he came a week, 10 days ago, and he was scheduled for a week's worth of treatment, and he paid his money, got a week's worth of stem cells, and he was getting these rays.
While we're waiting to get Don back on the line here for the listeners, let me just repeat again. We'd like to have you call in during the show. For those of you who are in the United States and Canada, our number is 888-429-5471. If you live outside the United States and Canada, the number is 530-413-9537. Give us a call.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have the pleasure of interviewing today Mr. Doug Rice, one of the very first patients to cross the Pacific to get stem cells back in 05. But that wasn't the unusual part. He was the only one of our patients in the year 2005 who had the complete support of his own cardiologist to get stem cells. You want to comment on that, Doug?
Yeah, I had been working with my doctor since 92. After having about 7 heart attacks, he came to me and he said, "Doug, we're down to about 3 months." And he says, "There's nothing I can do for you. There's just nothing." And so I told him about Theravita, and he says, "Go for it." He said, "What else do you have?" And so that's what happened. And he's been behind me. Actually, I believe he sent more than one patient over since me, but I don't know.
Okay. So you had 3 months, he said. You had 3 months left, and you came and got the stem cells, and while it wasn't perfect, tell me about the experience. First of all, did they treat you all right when you came to Bangkok? Because after all, it was probably a strange trip for you to come all the way to an Asian country to get your heart treated.
Well, I brought Sheba with me as my help. But when I got over there, from the moment we got off the plane to the day we left, we were escorted around town. We stayed in a very nice hotel. The hospital was fantastic. The doctor that was treating me, I believe was the King's doctor, but I don't know. But the nurses, the doctors, the entire procedure was fascinating. Since other than a few minutes to draw the blood, and once the adult stem cells got back to Thailand, the procedure was less than an hour, and I went from 11% ejection fraction at that time to 31% in less than 31 days.
That's quite a jump, given how bad a shape you were in, that came in pretty handy.
To clear up for some folks, yes, Doug Rice had as his consulting cardiologist just handling his case in the hospital in Bangkok, was indeed a cardiologist for His Majesty. And so, as far as my money is concerned, he was the most knowledgeable, and every patient loved him. And they make comments like, I wish I could take him back home with me because I like him a lot better than I like my own cardiologist. So you went back to the state of Washington, and I assume Sheba was with you. What happened when you got back?
I instantly, from the time I had the treatment, you could feel a change in your body. And like I said, within a month, I was back doing full things that I hadn't done in years. I could walk a long ways. I even went to Washington, D.C. and testified.
Thank you, Dr. Jim. We had an internet glitch that took me off for a while. We talked about this laser thing. And it's happening all over Skype land, stem cell land, that the addition of other therapies is becoming more and more important, and they're being recognized as important. On the mini brain, what it is we know that hearts can be constructed using stem cells. We know that. Livers can be constructed using stem cells. And these things figure within 10 years to be replacing donors. And if they can make the heart out of stem cells rather than being forced to use donors, of course, that's got to be better. They won't need any of the drugs they have to put in when you put donors' organs in. But this goes beyond belief. And it comes from Europe. Scientists have grown miniature brains from human stem cells for the first time. This promises to revolutionize the study of diseases such as schizophrenia and autism and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. And let's hope it doesn't raise too many ethical questions, but you think of a pea, a normal pea-sized blob known as organoids, and they closely resemble the human brain at around 9 weeks of development. Let me tell you how I interpret that. That means when there is a fetus growing in the womb of a pregnant lady, at the nine-week mark, there's not a brain yet in the fetus, but there is an organoid. And these are known to have working neurons. And it's a primitive version of the major brain regions. And this is a step. This is a step. But they now know they can get this undeveloped organoid and help study the effect of diseases on it. Dr. Jim?
I read that article, too. That popped out yesterday. I think you beat me on that. But that's international news, very exciting. Just a couple of observations. They derive that human brain, about less than a quarter of an inch in size, from human skin cells that had been changed or induced into becoming stem cells. That was the other part of the enormous creativity and innovation involved in that study. They created a miniature brain with patient's own skin cells that had been converted into, it's called induced pluripotent stem cells, still not commercially available in a lot of places, and use the skin to form a brain. Absolutely amazing. I might just add that one of the controversies about using the so-called induced pluripotent stem cells from things like skin or the blood or the liver that may have been corrected by now, I'm not quite sure, is that they were using that to replace embryonic stem cells because of the ethical problems, as well as the teratoma, the cancer tumor problems that you get with embryonic stem cells. Apparently, until recently, these induced stem cells also had a tendency towards teratomas. These are benign tumors that have an accumulation of such things as bone, hair, teeth, and in rare instances, brain tissue, thyroid tissue, liver, and lung tissue, even organs, created because of stem cells in the wrong location. So a couple of important events. The most important is the miniature brain being created from skin cells that have been induced into stem cells in the creation of this remarkable miniature brain that we're reading about in the news today.
You know, it was just a short article and didn't give a lot of stuff on it, but and I feel constrained that I have to tell people that, you know, this is a baby step. And it's a long, long way to go, but it is exciting.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. Mr. Engineer, we're going to take our normal hourly break, and we'll come back. And right after we come back, Dr. Jim is going to give one of the best interviews we've ever had about a stem cell patient following treatment. So, Mr. Engineer, take it away.
Have you been told repair stem cells are untested, unsafe, ineffective, and even detrimental? Not true. In fact, the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells have been proven in over 1,500 clinical trials in the United States and around the world. Repair stem cells are currently used by doctors worldwide to help people suffering from over 100 serious and so-called untreatable medical conditions. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margolis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company, helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on BBS Radio.
Welcome back to The Truth About Stem Cells. It is now 5:01 p.m. Friday Pacific Time, 8:01 Eastern Time. And our guest host, Dr. James Brawley, is about to let you in and hear one of the finest stem cell results from, you got a fine doctor, you got a fine technical program, and you got a fine patient. Enjoy. Dr. Brawley, please introduce your patient.
This patient is a remarkable lady. She developed MS many years ago. Was in the what we call the remitting relapsing phase, where you get bad, you get symptomatic, and then you get better. She got better for about 5 years. And over a period of time, she developed the progressive phase, which is, we call it secondary progressive MS in her case, where she didn't get better anymore. When she would have a relapse, it stayed that level in a downward spiral. And she ended up being wheelchair-bound about 4 to 5 years before she came in. Kind of a hopeless situation and psychologically crushing in her case. And I want you to listen to her story, how she's gone from near hopelessness to optimism as a result of stem cell therapy and other integrative therapies that we included. Let me introduce one of my favorite patients, Heidi. Today we're going to chat with a remarkable lady with a story to tell about multiple sclerosis and stem cells, more specifically secondary progressive MS, and the successes that followed stem cell therapy and other so-called integrative therapies she received last year. Just a little introduction on secondary progressive. It's a form of MS that doesn't have relapses and remissions. In other words, it doesn't have good times mixed with bad times. And as a result, is more challenging to treat than the more common form of MS called remitting relapsing MS. But we've discovered that with an integrative approach, that is one that includes 2 consecutive days of stem cell therapy followed by a strict gluten-free diet, lots of unfried fish, and aggressive vitamin D therapy, secondary progressive MS becomes treatable and reversible. Some proof of that statement will be provided by our next guest, Heidi. And you can correct me on these numbers here, Heidi, if I'm wrong, who, after some 15 years of remitting relapsing MS, was diagnosed with secondary progressive MS 5 to 6 years ago, became wheelchair-bound about 4 years ago, and went through our stem cell program last year about 15 months ago. So with that kind of wordy introduction, hello, Heidi. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Heidi, what are some of your earliest memories about MS?
At the time of my diagnosis, I was a senior in college, and I was writing papers, and I noticed that my right pinky finger went numb. I thought it might have been a pinched nerve due to all the paper writing. Also, during lectures, I noticed that I could not see the professors very well, and they seemed like they were in a fog. And then the numbness progressed up my arm and my shoulder and eventually my entire right side, including my face. It was then that I decided to seek medical attention. I saw a neurologist who diagnosed me with MS. And in retrospect, however, I could see that I was symptomatic even when I was 18 years old, having periods of fatigue that seemed unusual for that age.
How did you feel about all this?
It was hard to accept because I had just gotten married 6 months prior, so I thought, wow, this honeymoon is over. However, I saw a doctor who practiced alternative medicine, and I followed his recommendations. At that time, I felt like the disease could be controlled, and I was somewhat ignorant of the consequences of MS, but I was functional, and then I went into remission for 5 years.
So that was the remitting relapsing phase, and then that came to an end, and the progressive pattern began. Tell us about that.
Okay, that happened about 5 to 6 years ago. I just continued to worsen. My balance became more problematic. Fatigue was prevalent, and I had little stamina. The rotary nystagmus that I suffered from became a greater challenge, and that's when I became wheelchair-dependent 4 years ago.
And then you started thinking about stem cells. Tell us how that started.
My mother is a physician, and so she first was the one to come across that, and she kind of harangued me until I actually began to think about it myself.
I can recall not quite 2 years ago when I first heard from you and your husband, and you just began looking into stem cell therapy about that time, about the early part of 2012, as I recall. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Then you made the decision and made your trip to Mexico to be treated by Dr. Ramirez and his staff. How was your experience in Mexico?
It was really a great experience. We were met warmly by an escort at the San Diego airport. The hotel staff was welcoming, and they were warm as well. There was no problems. There was some difficulty with the language barrier, but I found that to be humorous, and it really was a positive experience.
And what did you think of Dr. Ramirez when you got a chance to be with him?
He was great. I mean, honestly, this would not be with protocol, but I really wanted to give him a really great big bear hug.
That's one of the frequent comments that we receive about Dr. Maris. He's kind of a diminutive man that's very soft-spoken, and a lot of the women in particular seem to fall in love with him. Some of them said they'd like to adopt him and take him home with them. We've not allowed that to happen so far. Memorable moments during your visit?
The food was really great that was provided at the hotel. There was never a lack of anything that was gluten-free, and my husband especially enjoyed the Mexican food varieties, and it was really a positive experience overall.
That's one of the most popular pleasantries during the visit they have at the Hotel Pueblo Amigo, a Mexican buffet that begins at about 7 o'clock in the morning, and people not only in the hotel from but around the neighborhood in Mexico will come there and spend half the morning enjoying that. It's a very, very excellent Mexican buffet. So you went through the program, you went back home, and how have you been doing since your stem cell treatment about 15 months ago?
There has been some struggles. I think for me, initially I was impatient for the stem cells to start working, and I may have pushed it a little bit more than I should have, but in recent weeks I've come to understand and appreciate the improvements that I have had, knowing that secondary chronic progressive MS patients don't usually get better.
Yeah, that's the truth. If you approach it with the conventional therapies, prescription drugs, they end up chasing symptoms. Nothing wrong with that, but the problem with symptom chasing or treating symptoms is that the disease continues. And with secondary progressive MS, there's a tendency for there to be kind of a slow downward spiral unless you try something different that does, in fact, deal with the causes of the disease. So you talked about improvements. Tell us some about some of your successes, your improvements on the program.
Since the stem cells, I actually got a treadmill for Christmas, and at the first time I tried it, I could only walk 30 seconds, which seemed kind of pathetic, but now I'm up to, my record is 5 minutes, and I'm very proud of that because I've just worked really hard. Also, I've improved in bladder function. My sleep patterns have become stable, and improved stamina, balance, and energy.
One of my favorite quotes from you on our emailing was we were talking about mental acuity, your ability to focus in and follow through and get things done. And your comment back to me, it was, my mental acuity is good. I beat my mom at Scrabble. That was kind of a big deal, huh?
Yeah, it really was.
She normally beat you at that, so now you're the champion around the home, is what I'm hearing.
Right.
Okay. Well, you've had your ups and downs, and overall it sounds like it's been a good experience. Talk a little bit more about that, if you would.
Let's see.
You're talking about the difficulty in traveling. That seems to have gotten a little bit better. You do a lot of traveling to family and to things like
right.
that. You're able to tolerate that a little bit better?
Yes, I do. I'm extremely content in my home because it's very handicap accessible and such. But traveling does present some problems at times, but it hasn't prevented me from doing any of it. Just makes it a little more challenging.
And I guess finally, just kind of looking back over the last 15 months or so, could you share some of your reflections?
I think that, you know, the stem cells really stop the downward spiral, as you said. And so I really overall feel a lot less hopeless and feelings of despair. And I'm really thankful for the improvements that I have had.
And what would you recommend to other MS sufferers, or in particular the ones with the progressive form of MS? What would you share with them?
I would recommend that if you have the means, don't hesitate. However, if you don't, work hard to acquire them. It's really worth it, It's worth the effort. It's worth the improvements that it provides. And above all, Dr. Brawley's aftercare has been absolutely impeccable.
Well, I'm not sure about impeccable, but thank you very much, and you've been a joy to work with, to be quite honest, as well. Well, thank you, Heidi, for sharing a very important part of your life with our listeners, and I'm wondering maybe we can visit you again in the next 6 months to a year or so and see how you're doing. How does that sound?
That sounds fine.
Okay, well, look forward to maybe talking to you over the radio again in a while. So, again, thank you very much, Heidi.
You're welcome.
Well, that was certainly a pleasure to hear. A highly intelligent lady and her impressions of all the things that have happened to her. We rarely get that much clarity in an interview.
Just to kind of follow up on some final thoughts with Heidi is that she has really, really worked hard, especially trying to regain the strength that she lost with MS. And for her to say that she was on the treadmill, she has handrails, of course, but with the treadmill going from less than 30 seconds to 5 minutes is like you and me walking around the block and training then for a marathon. A lot of heroism, I would call it, above and beyond the call of duty. She's really quite remarkable that way and has never, ever given up on the program. Makes it a joy to treat patients like that.
Okay. If any listener wants to inquire of Dr. Brawley whether or not Dr. Brawley and Dr. Ramirez can help with your disease, just drop a note to info@repairstemcells.org, repairstemcells.org, and you will be connected within 2 days to Dr. Brawley's office. Now, back to our science list here. The next one is that the National Institutes of Health have awarded a five-year, $2 million grant to a biomedical research team at Worcester Polytechnic Institute. Now, every time we start a program here, I mention the fact that that in this broadcast, you will hear a patient who has had stem cells for his heart several years, and it's working just to prove that the people who tell you it doesn't work are lying. Now, this team, I won't mention any names personally because it's not a personal issue, but this team that is putting this program together, and they're saying that their program is to create something called a micro thread to deliver adult stem cells into damaged hearts to promote muscle regeneration. The heart is, of course, a muscle. And this adult stem cell microthread is the purpose of which is to repair a heart which has been damaged usually by a heart attack. Bought and paid for by the National Institutes of Health. National Institutes of Health, just so you know, is not doesn't give a tinker's damn about patients. They only care about profits for pharmaceutical companies. Yes, it's a government organization. Yes, they're related to the FDA in several ways. Yes, the doctors are all very prestigious. And yes, virtually every one of these crooks is a major shareholder of a pharmaceutical company. Yes, our precious National Institutes of Health, the majority of the doctors who make the decisions, there's about 100 of them, are all major shareholders of pharmaceutical companies. Now, here's the one thing that you're sure to get when pharma is part of it. You're going to get lies about the stem cell treatments that honest doctors who are saving lives today are attacked with. He says, earlier studies by these doctors and others have shown that when human stem cells are derived from bone marrow, are implanted into damaged hearts, they moderately improve cardiac function. Now, as you know from hearing all of our real patients, not the ones who create scientific studies to prove stem cells don't work. The main limitation of these studies was getting large numbers of stem cells to engraft into the damaged heart tissue. The method used at the time injecting the stem cells into the were two, injecting the cells into the bloodstream. Yes, that is true. Injecting the stem cells into the bloodstream only yields 15% of the stem cells actually make it to the heart. And you can be assured that not one doctor, not one, approved by the Repair Stem Cell Institute ever considers putting stem cells into intravenously for a heart patient. Catheter, put them in with a catheter into the heart muscle itself, into the myocardium, or into coronary arteries. So the one thing they mention that it's injecting into the bloodstream, that part is true, and that results in 15%. But nobody today that knows what they're doing does that, unless they want to charge very cheap and let somebody get away with charge somebody $7,000 for the heart treatment, and where they don't have any expenses because they don't have to put it into the heart and they don't need any skill, they can get a nurse to put it into the heart legally. Okay, the second thing is, here comes the lie. I'm going to finish this sentence. The methods used at the time, injecting the cells into the bloodstream or directly into the heart muscle, yielded very low results, with 15% or less of the cells injected actually surviving and attaching to the heart muscle. An enormous lie. An enormous lie by this lead doctor who has been bribed by the National Institutes of Health to lie about stem cells, and he gets a $2 million bonus for research for his program. Now, I am not criticizing his program. It might improve things. But to say that putting stem cells directly into the heart muscle, you have to make up a study and be done crookedly to get only 15% or less into the heart muscle with a catheter. And that's why he says, quote, but the, you know, most cells were washed away by the bloodstream and the results were minimal. So the reader of this says, gee, it's a good thing these guys are doing this. Maybe someday we'll be able to get most of the stem cells into the heart. That's what the average reader is going to do, and that's why we're bringing it up, so you know. When you get stem cells from one of Repair Stem Cells doctors, you get your stem cells implanted not only into the heart, but the good ones know how to put it right where the damaged tissue is so that the heart damaged tissue can be replaced by the stem cell healthy tissue. But you'll never read that in any publication in North America because they're not allowed to say positive things about adult stem cells. Dr. Brawley?
Well, I think you've talked about the political economic side of it. I don't think I have any add to that, just a couple of observations. Once you have the NIH taking taxpayer dollars to stimulate research, a couple of things happen is that nobody else can do it. And they mentioned in the article it's going to be 5. You can double or triple that. It's going to be 10 to 15 years before anything of value will come out of that particular exclusive research. And secondly, I'd say optimizing or improving the delivery of stem cells to areas that need repair is always part of research, as it should be. You want to optimize. You want to get as many stem cells as you possibly can to the areas that need to be repaired and regenerated. Nothing wrong with that. I thought that's a fascinating concept, whether or not in the long run, 5, 10, 15 years from now, that turns out to be superior to what Dr. Vena or the Better Being Hospital in Bangkok do with heart patients, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball there, but it's a very interesting concept where they're taking these micro threads coated with healthy active stem cells, 40,000 stem cells per less than a half an inch, and then stitching it, really interesting, stitching it into the damaged heart tissue to improve regeneration. The concept kind of makes sense, but they gave you about a third of the story. They distorted what's already going on in the stem, thanks in large part to Don Margolis and the people that he refers heart patients to. That's a proven fact. But one has to admit that there's an interesting new approach that might turn out in the long run, if you can hold your breath that long, that might actually improve stem cell therapy for heart patients.
Thank you, Dr. Jim. In this subject, one of the finest researchers in America and an over-optimist as far as I'm concerned, but greatly respected by me, is Dr. Joshua Hare at the University of Miami. He runs clinical trial after clinical trial proving by putting stem cells into the heart that they really do get into the heart, and his patients get better at the rate of 80%. Now, the reason that his 80% is better than the 70% our doctors get is simple. Our doctors take everybody, and clinical trial takes only special patients.
Yes.
So not to criticize anything, but Dr. Hare is one of the stem cell doctors who, he doesn't treat people yet, he can, he's in the United States, but he does run great clinical trials, and believe me, his stem cell patients get better at the rate of 80%, and not, as they said in this article, It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't last long, it doesn't work. Okay, enough on that subject. I'm going to skip an article, Dr. Jim, the Philippines article. We'll come back to it if we have it tomorrow, time later. But the article on unique stem cell therapy for MS patient has just been approved by the FDA. Now, this isn't an overstatement. The FDA has been very hard on certain stem cell clinical trials because they know they work and they don't want it to screw up their boss's profits. So the FDA is a subsidiary of pharma. It is not a government organization. They get their paycheck from the federal government, but they are a subsidiary of the pharma, and they do whatever the pharma tells them. Well, I was surprised they got this thing out there. And it's a complicated test, and it's going to be a complicated trial, but they're going to be using bone marrow stem cells, and each patient will be given up to 3 rounds of injection, directly injected into cerebral spinal fluid. That's what we call so you all understand that. The spinal cord, everybody knows they got a spinal cord running from down from the brain through the neck and down your backbone to the top of the hip bone. But around that is a tube around the spinal cord. And that tube is filled with what's called cerebrospinal fluid, which means brain spine fluid that rotates and goes up to the brain and comes back down. And so that when you inject stem cells into there, in most cases, it makes it right up into the brain and then does what you hope it will do. And we applaud the studies in the United Kingdom, and they've been given permission to do it at the Tisch Multiple Sclerosis Center. It took them 3 years of red tape, intentional red tape delay to get it cooking. And it was approved by the International Cellular Drug Society, ICMS, which is supposedly an institutional review board, but the ICMS is the only honest major stem cell society. And it is run by a chap by the name of Audley, A-U-D-L-E-Y, and it was started with the help of a fine doctor in Colorado named Dr. Centeno, C-E-N-T-E-N-O, and they've got, the last I heard, they had close to 3,000 members, and we congratulate them on what could be the beginning of a great success. Dr. Brawley?
Well, I looked at this, and my first reaction is, well, we've been doing this for a number of years successfully. Exactly what they're describing here. The only difference is that they're using mesenchymal or mesenchymal stem cells from the bone marrow. We've been using mesenchymal stem cells from the placenta, along with umbilical cord blood. You can also, by the way, get the same cells from fat tissue. We alluded to that earlier in the show. And we give it also not only intravenously, but give it into the spinal fluid called spinal tap or intrathecally. Just like Dom described, the purpose of that is to make use of the spinal fluid that bathes the brain and the spinal cord where MS affects the patients, and to concentrate high levels, have it get into the spinal tissue and the brain tissue in high numbers. We've been getting good results for quite some time. I was just looking at this. They're talking about 1 year of injections and then 27 months after the final injection. So we're still, for a small group of 20 patients, MS patients, we're going to have to wait 4 years, probably another 6 months after that, to actually read the report. And I'm going to predict that they still won't give permission for this to be routinely done in the United States. You'll still have to go to your stem cell centers outside the United States to get this kind of therapy. So it's important that the FDA is approving it. It's important that it's finally being recognized as valid, but they didn't discover it. They're not the ones who originated it. It's been done in good stem cell centers for a number of years.
But that's part of the game, Doc. That's part of the game. The part of the game is to pretend.
It's a harmful game. If you have 400,000 people in the United States, many of them who could benefit enormously, especially the progressive MS patients, from this type of therapy, using mesenchymal stem cells from any number of sources and introducing them in the spinal fluid and following them over a period of time. 20 patients are being treated. It should be 200,000 patients are being treated, and you will not see that in our lifetime because of the way things are, the game that's been set up that perpetuates this nonsense, this harmful nonsense.
Yes, we've proved that communism doesn't work in the last century, and this century we're proving that capitalism is every bit as bad. Jobs are lost because of capitalism. Jobs are, economies are ruined because of capitalism, and most of all, when you have a capitalistic medical system that has so far grabbed 18% of our national income every year and is doing everything it can to get up to 19% and 20% and as much as they can get, whereas in Europe, they're at 10%. And in fact, if you took all the countries, the developed countries in the world, which is Western Europe, Scandinavia, and North America, exclude North America, Western Europe, Scandinavia, Japan, Hong Kong, and Singapore, and Australia, New Zealand. Those are all the developed countries. And you add them all up and put it down together, you'll get 10% of their national income goes toward medical costs, and ours goes toward big profits for the guys who own your government. Patients be damned is the rule. And like Dr. Brawley says, you're not going to see this. There isn't a MS patient alive today. I'm going to say this slowly and clearly. There isn't an MS patient alive today who will ever see adult stem cell treatments approved in the United States of America. Okay, on to the next subject, unless you have something else to add, Doc.
Oh, Don, this is one area that Don and I have friendly discussions and disagreements. I call it crony capitalism. I don't call it free market medicine at all. I'm for profits as long as they're earned and not a special gift because you have political pull with governmental bodies and politicians. So it's evil profit because it's not earned. It's as a result of special measures that allow people who should not be receiving the profit to do so. By the way, and I always like to say there are many different ways of profiting, and you can profit by making money, helping people legitimately and honestly, and you can hurt people by making a profit by being given special privileges. Final statement, if you want to see where medicine really stinks, go to England and look at their socialized medicine system. It's just absolutely terrible. It makes the United States system look like a therapy for royalty in comparison. So Don and I disagree in that area. It's an honest disagreement, but I don't call that free market medicine. I call it crony capitalism.
Okay, Doc. I think now would be a good time. We got less than a half hour left, and let's meet one of the first, really one of the first, from 2005, heart patients who, by his USA cardiologist, was told he had 3 months to live. And Doug Rice of the state of Washington found Theravite, the company in Bangkok with labs in Israel that was treating heart patients, and he asked his doc, and his doctor was the very first standard cardiologist who encouraged his patient to go try stem cells rather than die. And Doug thought about, gee, what do I want to do? Do I want to die or do I want to go to Bangkok? Well, let me think it over. Listen to Doug yourself. Mr. Engineer, Doug Rice, if you please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have the pleasure of interviewing today Mr. Doug Rice, one of the very first patients to cross the Pacific to get stem cells back in 05. But that wasn't the unusual part. He was the only one of our patients in the year 2005 who had the complete support of his own cardiologist to get stem cells. You want to comment on that, Doug?
Yeah, I had been working with my doctor since 92. After having about 7 heart attacks, he came to me and he said, Doug, we're down to about 3 months. And he says, there's nothing I can do for you. There's just nothing. And so I told him about Theravita, and he says, go for it. He said, what's the, you know, what else do you have? And so that's what happened. And he's been behind me. Actually, I believe he sent more than one patient over since me, but I don't know.
Okay. So you had 3 months, he said, you had 3 months left, and you came and got the stem cells, and while it wasn't perfect, well, tell me about the experience. First of all, did they treat you all right when you came to Bangkok? Because after all, it was probably a strange trip for you to come all the way to an Asian country to get your heart treated.
Well, I brought Sheba with me as my to help, and But when I got over there, from the moment we got off the plane to the time the day we left, we were escorted around town. We stayed in a very nice hotel. The hospital was fantastic. The doctor that was treating me, I believe was the King's doctor, but I don't know. But the nurses, the doctors, the entire procedure was fascinating. Since after, other than a few minutes to draw the blood, and once the adult stem cells got back to Thailand, the procedure was less than an hour. And I went from 11% ejection fraction at that time to 31% in less than 31 days.
That's quite a jump. Given how bad a shape you were in, that came in pretty handy. To clear up for some folks, Doug Rice had as his consulting cardiologist just handling his case in the hospital in Bangkok, was indeed a cardiologist for His Majesty. And so, as far as my money is concerned, he was the most knowledgeable, and every patient loved him. And they make comments like, I wish I could take him back home with me, because I like him a lot better than I like my own cardiologist. So you went back to the state of Washington, and I assume Sheba was with you. What happened when you got back?
I instantly, from the time I had the treatment, you could feel a change in your body. And like I said, within a month, I was back doing full things that I hadn't done in years. I could walk a long ways. I even went to Washington, D.C., and testified in Congress about the adult stem cell treatment and met with numerous groups around the country and spoke with them. And I believe in the treatment, and I think it's too bad that our government over here is so far behind the schedule.
Well, yes. I call the United States the Bangladesh of stem cells. Everything you hear about stem cells in the United States, if you hear it in a major newspaper or a major television network or even medical journals, everything you hear about adult stem cells is intentional misinformation. And the intentional misinformation has one goal, to keep profits for selling drugs that don't do a thing for heart patients, and not to lose those profits. And since 1996, when the FDA was acquired by the drug industry, and it sounds funny to say a government agency was acquired by the drug industry, but it's the truth. The FDA is run by the drug industry, and they will never approve adult stem cells for heart patients. Now, the FDA will constantly, due to pharma's backing, tell all sorts of nonsense about embryonic stem cells, which they very well know will never be able to put into a human being. But they know that, and I know that, but every newspaper, every crooked newspaper in the United States, and that's all the major ones, will cheer for embryonic stem cells and lie about adult stem cells just to keep the profits rolling in. And that's why, that principle is why America spends 18% of its money, of its income, on medical care, while Europe spends 10%. So, as I recall, you had a problem come up down the road. Do you want to talk about that?
I don't know what happened, but I started having heart trouble again, and I went back over and had the treatment again. And you got to realize, I was dead, per se, in 05, and this is 2013. and there is no way, and I, if you saw me today, other than, you know, I'm not the best picture of health all the time, but I just wouldn't be here. And I can do things that most people that have don't have any problems at all can do. It's not, in my opinion, it can't, you know, it, I think that adult stem cells should be a preventive medicine, and to the ones that are at near death, solve that problem. But if they would just use adult stem cell in preventive medicine, it would make a major difference, and they just are, I just don't understand how since 1959 they can be treating cancer in the United States. Hundreds of thousands of people have been treated with cancer using adult stem cells. But like you say, the pharmaceuticals and the hospitals make too much money to want to be able to cure the heart. So.
If we want to make one statement about the situation, the medical system has one goal, making profits. That applies to major companies, it applies to hospitals, it applies to medical manufacturers, it applies to insurance companies. They're all in the system to make money, and every decision there is in favor of profits and against patients. I repeat, against patients. And if you're not clever enough to see that and try to avoid those that situation, then you will just have to, if you happen to get any chronic disease, whether it's heart or something not as prevalent like multiple sclerosis or cerebral palsy or any one of a 100 different diseases, that's called a chronic disease. And any patient in the world who has a chronic disease, anyone, 100%, has a shortened life expectancy. And if you keep taking drugs and do nothing else, keep taking prescription drugs, your shortened life expectancy is going to get shorter. Doug, what are your plans now? What are your plans now in 2013? Are you doing anything in the stem cell field?
Yeah, I remember Dr. Grekos.
Of course.
I talk to him all the time. He wants me to come down if I can in the future and have another treatment, just to make sure that I don't have any troubles in the future.
Well, Dr. Grekos has had his share of problems, and people ask me about him all the time, and I tell them all the same thing. I don't think all his problems were deserved. I think it was a target of the pharmaceutical industry because he was so popular with his stem cell treatments. And they went after him unfairly. And as anybody asks me, I still say that Dr. Zonis Grekos is one of America's top cardiologists. And if Don Margolis ever gets a heart treatment, Dr. Grekos would be his first choice. But thank you. I want to make one more comment. Your doctor, your original doctor, if you want to say his name, okay, but he said something. He said, I cannot do anything for you, but maybe stem cells can. And that is so unusual for a cardiologist to put his patient ahead of his profits that I at that time, and I still do, take my hat off to him. You were one lucky guy. That means that you were with him before, and you're down now in contact with Grekos. You're one lucky guy. Pick two great ones in your lifetime.
I agree.
And, thank you. Thank you for your time, Doug Rice, and we'll be back to talk to you hopefully again in about 6 months.
Look forward to hearing from you.
Bye-bye for now.
He had 7 separate heart attacks. Each one of those heart attacks represented a new area of damage to his working heart muscle. That's remarkable, again, that he's alive to even go seek stem cell therapy. Secondly, He had a recurrence of symptoms, went back for a second treatment, but wasn't quite sure why his heart wasn't working. Well, here's where, I'm not going to call it prejudice, my experience and understanding, it's kind of like offering a patient angioplasty or stents or coronary bypass surgery for severe heart disease and not telling them that they need to change their diet. They have to eat differently. They have to live a different lifestyle, and they should stop smoking, by the way, while they're at it. Many heart patients who respond to stem cell therapy, I believe, are not following an optimal lifestyle and dietary program. The very things that may have brought them to the point of, in his case, seven separate heart attacks that he survived. And this is back to what we talked about earlier in the show, is that you integrate into stem cell therapy complementary therapies that will make the stem cells work better much longer. And in his case, a really important part of that would be making sure that his diet and nutritional status was optimal. I might make one final comment why doctors are so secretive. I had a very successful clinical practice, nutritionally oriented, functionally oriented, for a number of years in California. Helped a lot of patients who weren't being helped with chronic illnesses by their doctor. During that 10 to 15 year period, how many of those doctors called me up to say, what did you do with my patient that got her better when I couldn't? In that period of time, I got no calls, no expressions of interest from a single doctor asking about how their patients responded differently to our program compared to theirs. I think that's not just profit-seeking. I think that's a self-esteem psychological phenomenon, that it's basically admitting that their approach to medicine might, in fact, be inferior. Doctors, heart doctors who do not seek stem cell therapy for advanced heart disease, that's like admitting that their approach, their conventional approach, is inferior, which in many cases it obviously is. And that's my 35 cents worth, Don.
All right. I would actually pay 45 for that much, but I'm a generous guy. I'm a generous guy. One Q story here, and then Mr. Engineer, if you will bring up Explore TV for use in the last 5 minutes, we'd appreciate it. There was a story out of the Philippines, and in order to introduce the story, I have to give you some background. So there is a political battle going on in New Orleans between doctors, either legitimate or not legitimate or legitimate. There's a battle going on between doctors who want to treat with stem cells. Some of them are not good. Some of them are good. And the other side of the battle is pharma and its own politicians. There isn't any reason for a politician or for a regulator to scream about stem cells are all crook and anything. What you see is a mini, but a more low-down type of battle than the one that goes on in the United States. And so one of the companies that makes stem cell vitamins, and I'm not going to comment on the one or the other, when people ask me about, you know, these vitamins that come from stem cells, they don't call them that. They call them stem cells, and people think they're actually getting stem cells, and they pay $60 a month for a bottle. And they ask me about it. I say it's not bad. It's a vitamin. Think of vitamin C. We all need some vitamin C, and you take vitamin C pills, and over time they do your body some good. Well, it's the same thing with this thing. It's no more than a vitamin, and some people it'll work, and some people it'll help, and some people it won't, and that's no big deal. But it's not a stem cell treatment. I have to make that clear. And they said, geez, my daughter has multiple sclerosis, and I've been giving her this, and now her balance is improved. And I say, congratulations, but it is not a stem cell treatment. So there are people there that actually are telling the truth. And there are some clinics in Puerto Rico, in Philippines. I won't approve or disapprove. We don't have any in our approved system, and as our regular listeners know, to be approved by the Repair Stem Cell Institute requires a lot of history. In other words, you have to have a lot of history behind you, a legitimate history, and no problems from regulators or anything like that. So we're not going to comment one way or the other on the quality of these things, other than the fact that it's an interesting little battle going on in the Philippines. Here in the United States, and we haven't seen the embryonic thing pop up in the Philippines, but here in the United States, they're still keeping the embryonic hooks going. They know damn well that embryonic stem cells can never be put into a human being. And if they change them from embryonic stem cells chemically or something, fine, but that can become very expensive. The cost is roughly 10 times what it costs to prepare adult stem cells, and it's never going to happen. But that's the way they keep the battle away from the science of adult stem cells, by simply keeping the battle about embryonic stem cells and ignoring adult stem cells. And you don't see the word adult allowed in America in front of the word stem cells, not in any major newspaper, not in any medical journal, et cetera, et cetera. So, Mr. Engineer, let's give our little talk again about embryonic stem cells that we gave to in honor of one of the greatest stem cell doctors 5 years ago, Dr. Carlos Lima. Mr. Engineer, take it away.
American Don Margolis is on a personal odyssey. He's come to Kefalonia, Greece, a place close to Homer's Odyssey. While Ulysses fought mythical creatures, Don is fighting deadly embryonic stem cell myths. His weapon is the truth, the adult stem cell truth, that adult stem cell treatments are helping with over 100 diseases right now. More embryonic researchers are coming out and admitting that embryonic stem cells will not be ready to help anyone for decades. And that's just too long for Don Margolis to wait. So he's come to Greece to announce the formation of a new public service company that is dedicated to educating the public about the amazing abilities of adult stem cells. He's here at the third annual Spinal Cord Injury Symposium at the invitation of Dr. Carlos Lima, a neurologist that is helping paralyzed victims walk again using adult stem cells and massive rehabilitation.
My name is Don Margolis. In 2003, I started the first company in the world to treat end-stage heart patients with adult stem cells. Our scientists are in Israel. Our patients are treated in Thailand. As of now, just over 300 have been treated, and 75% of them had their quality of life improve. We could never have done it in America. America is one of the world's poorest countries when it comes to stem cells. America is the Bangladesh of stem cells. Why? A recent poll indicates that 75% of Americans believe that all stem cells come from embryos. 20% either haven't heard of stem cells or don't know where they come from, and 5% know that adult stem cells exist. In other words, embryonic stem cells get publicity and only publicity, and no one knows that adult stem cells get results. Therefore, I have, only 1 month ago, created a public service company with the mission of educating Americans about the miracle of adult stem cells. It's called the International Center for Adult Stem Cell Education. Why have embryonic researchers been failing, and why will they continue to fail to find a therapy in the next decade to match what adult stem cells are doing in 2008? It's a surprisingly easy to explain question. There are only two facts you need to know. Fact one, adult stem cells are in the body to provide medical self-repair. The reason that adult stem cell researchers are improving thousands of lives for almost every disease and medical condition known to man, that it is relatively easy to train an adult stem cell to do what it was born to do, repair. And when they repair what they were sent to repair, they stay there and they reproduce. Two, embryonic stem cells are in the bodies for one reason, to make babies. The reason embryonic researchers always fail is they cannot accept that embryonic stem cells are fanatic in their desire to become babies. Good embryonic researchers can sometimes, with great difficulty and very high cost in time and money, train an embryonic cell to do what he or she wants it to do, such as improve the symptoms of Parkinson's. But no one can control the cell, that cell's impossible to stop desire to make a baby. They do not stay there and reproduce. As Dr. Lima might put it, there is no off switch on an embryonic stem cell. So it cannot be controlled, and the too frequent result is deadly tumors. Now, you know more about stem cells than 95% of Americans.